This is the fourth week of our sermon series. We are studying a devotional book called The Red Letter Challenge. And interesting, we are doing here at Redeemer Lutheran Church. So the RLC just goes right along with our DNA. So this week, it's all RLC, Redeemer Lutheran Church, studying the Red Letter Challenge. And today we are studying this concept of service from Matthew 25. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, these words in red are significant in so many ways. Lord God, help us today as we highlight the words that you gave us so many years ago. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. And so today we want to take a look at Matthew 25, and I want to kind of give you a filler here on what's happening here. Jesus is speaking, and it's getting closer to Holy Week here in his life. And so he talks about kind of the end of all things. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." Okay, so in the end, there's two sides, one on the right, one on the left. I don't know why you chose to sit where you're sitting now, but I hope it wasn't affected by what I'm reading now, because it depends on which way you're reading this. Because, see, if I'm reading this to you, that means all of y'all are safe. And then we got to figure out what's going on with everyone over here, right? Because you're on the left, you guys are on the right, right? And so, yeah, it's different if you're facing this way and looking at the cross. It's a totally, this is in heaven. There'll be two different sides, on the right and on the left. And so Jesus is speaking here in these red letters to the people on the right. And if you would, read this next two verses with me. "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." So here he's pointing out a thing that happened in the people on the right. This happened in your lifetime. And so he's pointing them out to them, and he's saying at the very end of this little subsection, "And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you,'" because they were saying, "Lord, we never saw you out there. We didn't know what you exactly looked like, but we never saw you there," and then decided, "Oh, we'll pass and only see if it's you, and then serve." He said, "You served. You served. As you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." So the question is, what does Jesus point out here? At first, I was saying, okay, who do we serve? Whom do we serve? Why do we serve? And so I was looking at the responses of the people on the right, and people on the right were saying, well, we didn't see you out there. And I, on first reading, I was saying, okay, they were only looking to serve Jesus? No. What was in their DNA of why they served? Why they served? Jesus is pointing out, first and foremost, what was happening here. He said, whenever you saw someone hungry, you fed them. When they were thirsty, you gave them something to drink. A stranger, someone you didn't know. When I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And so, interesting enough, even in our Lutheran theology, the starting point is their faith in Christ. Their faith in Christ, that when they were speaking to Jesus, of why they did it, Jesus points out, especially the commentators that talk about this, is you started out with your faith in who I was to you when you did this. So the starting point is their faith. It wasn't works righteousness. It wasn't because they were trying to gain the favor of God by doing this. They were doing this just because, okay, this is who Jesus has made me. Therefore, I'm going to go off and serve my fellow brothers and sisters. And so Jesus points that out. You weren't hoping to gain anything. You just did that because it was in your DNA. So their starting point was faith in Christ. Who Jesus was defined everything else of what they did. So their actions were a result of their faith. The actions came from their faith. And so Jesus points that out. I first missed that when I'm going through this story. I missed that. Had to take a couple laps around here, even reading the commentary. And it was amazing. It was beautiful. It was just, it unpacked. Jesus says that I was your one and only, and because of what I've done for you, you served others. And it opened up a whole idea of what the scriptures say. And so we see that they served. They served. What they did in life was they served. And it started out with their faith. And so we take a look at service, works of service today, kind of examples of serving today. There are many, 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 many types of serving in this world. And so I can't really boil it down to you in a three-point part, but where you work, did you realize where you work is a place of service? You say, all I do is earn a paycheck. You never know who in the place where you work, where you go, you never realized who is there with you until it usually happens, and then you look back. You never sometimes look at a situation in which someone needs someone to come along. It's a death. It's a life change. It's a move. And the ability to come alongside someone in a difficult time. And so there's also a place. Where do you live? In a house? Where do you live? Where do you reside? Who's in your house? As spouses, isn't it sometimes the hardest thing to do is to serve your spouse? Because sometimes you're feeling like, I don't want to serve her. Or he doesn't deserve my service. Do you realize what kind of a person that person is? But we serve because of who Christ is to us. What about our kids? Talk about what you do for kids nowadays. It is nothing short of service, isn't it? Because they take a lot of work sometimes. But also, think about this. What could you do for mom or dad today that is a work of service for them? Not because they asked you to, because you looked at it as, how can I go home and serve my family today? Because that is who Christ is in my life, and I will do it because of who Christ is. What about in the church? The church. How'd you get in the door today? How'd you get in the door? Open the door. How'd you get the bulletin? How did you sit? Did someone try to find you a spot? Probably because they know better, right? Because you were going to sit wherever you wanted to sit, right? What about the cookies that you had in the in-between service? Did they just magically appear? What about the coffee? It takes a little while for good coffee to brew. How'd it get there? And so we take a look at, on average, you see that 20-80. On average, in the church today, 20% of the congregation members are doing 80% of the work. On average. And I've even read reports that it could be 10-90 nowadays. And so in the work of the church, it simply just to be able to sit down nowadays takes a lot of service from others. And so we take a look at this place. This is a place of service also. We serve when there's a death. There's a lot of desserts that come in. There's a group of people that serve in the midst of the people's grief. Even when they don't see it, there's people working behind the scenes to care. What about in our community? I'm talking about our community. What about the reach of our streets here in Wilmer today? What about our community? And so when I first came here, I didn't know a lot about our community. And so I asked, is there something that we could do? We could start up here. The problem being is that there's a lot of organizations that are doing some of the things that we thought we could be doing. They're already doing it. So we said, how can we come alongside these other organizations to help and serve? And so we take a look, and there's a list of different organizations. Atlas, Jason, the leader of that, they're just down the street. They work with mentoring so that we can partner with other people in order to get them through life crises and get them into a better frame of mind. We also look at Hope Pregnancy Center. We look at Community Basics that helps clothe, feed, and give the basic essentials. We take a look at Let's Go Fishing. Y'all like to fish, don't you? Not this group of people, huh? You like to fish. Two guys are actually honest this morning. And good that they're starting out so young. Let's Go Fishing takes a group of people out and asks for people to teach him how to fish. If you love to fish, it is a way in which to take your passion for fishing, to be a fisher of men and just be on a boat with people, to be able to talk about life and talk about things that are spiritual, and you get them on a boat, or they get to be with you on a boat. And so we said, okay, how can we partner with them? And they said, hey, do you have anybody in your congregation that likes to fish? I'll see. I don't know how. I'll try to get that for you. And so we take a look at some of these other organizations, and we said, how can we come alongside them in order to fulfill what God says in these red letters? And so we say, we can't necessarily take it from the ground up and raise it up. Why don't we rather say, how can we help and serve by prayer, by volunteering, by serving, by giving of our finances? How can we help these organizations do what they already do really well in this place? And so when we take a look at what is service, I take a look at Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He's a pastor, Lutheran pastor, who lived in the time of Nazi Germany. Can you imagine being a pastor and seeing what was happening in Germany during the 1930s and 40s? And so he talks in this chapter about doing life together. And he talks that the one thing that we can do to serve others is, yes, bring the Word of God into our communities. But he says even more, as we're bringing this light, this Word of God, he also says, yet a Christian community does not consist solely of preachers of the Word. He's talking about the idea there that is also important to serve in the basic needs of others. And so he was talking all about the idea that a Christian community is about service because it is about love. And so when we take a look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, let's read this together. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We here in here have a message of hope that something better is waiting for us. And while we're waiting, we serve. And so we just don't have a message that, man, we hope things will get better. But yes, they will get better sometime. And it's not now. This is not the best that it's going to get. And we serve because there is not a lot of light in the world. And so we say we want to share Christ because he is our light and he is the light of the world. And so we serve because of him. And one of the messages that we get to take to the rest of the world is this, is there's a time in which our Father will come to us and say, your time has come. Come into my kingdom with me and enjoy this great banquet. We are allowed to bring that message to the world. We do this at every pew. At every place we sit, everything here is just a practice to how we serve in and around us. And so I just ask you this morning today, is will you just take a look at what this asks us? If Jesus says it, is it important? In these red letters that Jesus actually spoke to us, when he talks about serving others, when you did this to the least, you did it also to me. If he says it, is it important? Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you gave these words. You said this to us. Lord God, help us not take these words for granted, but to take them to a world in which it badly needs a change. But as we do so, we must first understand as a group of believers, we need that change in our life first and foremost. Before we look at the outside world, we need to look inside of us and realize who it is that lives inside of us. We ask you to be with us, Lord, as Lord God. You could do great and many things in this world, and yet you choose to do it through us. Lord God, may we give you glory each and every time. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.